You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ, Bucky, Rhett back with you here as we continue to work towards week six of the NFL season. Man, we've got a bunch of teams with big matchups this week. Couple 3-2ers that looking to take that next step. Lots to get to today on the show, including, as we always like to do this time of the week, we like to focus on the defensive side of the ball. And we're looking at the line of scrimmage, who, you think about the offensive line protecting that quarterback, think about the defensive line getting after it. The teams that are combining those two the best, the Bills, the Cardinals, the Chargers, Dolphins, and Seahawks, they are all in the top eight in most sacks on defense and fewest sacks allowed on offense. So really playing well along the line of scrimmage. And one of those teams I want to focus on here is the Miami Dolphins, because Buck, I feel like on the offensive side of the ball, rightfully so, with the, you know, leading the league in scoring and how dynamic they've been, putting up a 70 spot earlier this year, all the attention. Tua, MVP candidate, Tyreek, Waddle, we've seen it in the backfield with Achane and Mostert. I mean, it's offense. They're not going to win a championship unless the defense plays well. And they are doing one thing well, which is they're getting after the quarterback. So when you look at them, are you hopeful, optimistic this is going to continue to get better on the complete side here with that defense?
I feel good about the Miami Dolphins really making a surge down the stretch, playing great defense. And part of that is because Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio is putting together a new scheme. He's trying to learn all the pieces, and he wants to make sure that he puts the players in place. Remember, this is a team that struggled last year defensively, so Fangio had to come in and clean up a lot of the stuff, and they're still adjusting to his ways. But you can already see this is a team that can use a smoke and mirrors approach to create pressure. They do a really good job of keeping the ball in front and the back end. And as they get Jalen Ramsey back and some of their other guys, they are going to be a team that can lock up and play man-to-man and really do some of the things that Vic Fangio really likes to do when it comes down to crunch time.
Yeah, and look, I mean, they feasted on a banged-up Giants offensive line this past week, seven sacks, most in the league. And look, they've been doing it with Jalen Phillips banged up, too. Bradley Chubb is doing his part, that's for sure, off the edge. He's got the most pressures on the team. Actually, I should say tied for the most pressures on the team, because Andrew Van Ginkle has been filling in nicely. He's got a little bit less of a sample size, but he's their team leader in sacks right now with four, and he was a fifth round pick back in 2019. Ran out his rookie contract there, signed a 1-year deal this year with Miami, very minimal cap hit on that, and he's been feasting right now, and they're lucky to have him. He was one of those guys, DJ, that had some production in college but was a little bit lighter, right, and kind of playing that outside linebacker mm-hmm. role in a 34 scheme at Wisconsin. But major athleticism, like you go back and look at the next gen athleticism score, and he's third highest in that 2019 linebacker class. 38 inch vert, 10 over 10 inch broad. And he ran the three cone at 6.89. So he clearly had the athleticism, which kind of, it gives you the traits, right, to then work with. And then somebody's got to come in and help him develop into a full time pass rusher. And he's done really well.
Yeah, no doubt. I was going back and looking through my notes when he came out, and you mentioned all the measurables there. He was a Sam linebacker. He was excellent as a looper. That's where he picked up a bunch of sacks, just kind of running games with him, where you can use that athleticism. Big time effort and chase. Yeah. The Purdue game, I had made a note in there. You see him chase down 20 yards down the field, forces a fumble. Just incredible effort and motor. Yeah. Active hands. Love to spin at the point of attack. So I didn't think he was super strong and sturdy, but more, kind of more athlete. I mean, shoot, he was only 241 pounds. So he right. kind of has to use that athleticism to get around people. But I mean, look, I'm not comparing him to Hassan Reddick, but when you think about guys that were coming out that, okay, how is he going to be big enough? He's kind of more of a athlete speed guy. That still works. It still plays, man. And he's beating blocks and he's winning. The other one I would bring up on this Dolphins defense, and get it back to you, Buck, Javon Holland, going back through and looking at my notes on him coming out, They played a lot of three safety there at Oregon. He played the rover. He took good angles. Excellent tackler. I compared him at the time coming out to a biggest LaMarcus Joyner, who you remember had some safety, had some nickel flex. He always was aware. I talked about his FBI, his football intelligence, knowing down and distance, ball skills. He's a complete player. And Vic Fangio, you know, I'd said maybe it was a week or two ago, he's got a chance to be one of the best safeties in the NFL if he's not already in that class. He's a really, really good player.
He is a really good player, and he's been a great player for them. And he's been able to come under the line. He's been able to come off the edge. And you saw in previous years, he can be a difference maker in a variety of different ways. As he settles in this Fangio defense, you're going to see he's going to be a C-ball, get-ball defender. I like what he's been able to bring to the table, and I'm looking forward to seeing how Fangio expands his role as he gets more comfortable in this scheme and within this system.
And, you know, I don't think we can leave the conversation about this Dolphins defense without talking about arguably the most dominant part of the defense, which has been the interior. Christian Wilkins, Sealer. I mean, like, those dudes are absolutely wrecking offensive lines on the interior, obviously making it easy for everybody else around them as well. It's like those dudes are big time players, and they've got some serious playmakers up and down that defensive front.
Yeah, no, they're really, really talented. It's a good group, and I think you'll see that, like, they've been a little bit inconsistent, but it's an adjustment, I think, for Vic playing with such a dynamic offense. You know, you call defense a little bit differently there. You're going to be playing with leads. You know, you just don't want to, you don't want to give up quick scores. So that's it's interesting how that's all coming together. I want to go inside that division to another team, an individual player, Bucky, who you saw last week in A.J. Epenesa. With the Bills. A career game for him, had two sacks, career high. Fourth year, you go back to when he was coming out of the draft. I went back and pulled up my notes on him. Skilled, big edge rusher, strong hands, can flip his hips. He can really finish. He's got a variety of hand moves. I thought he had a really, really high floor. He was big. He was 6'5", 275 pounds. Did not run great, was a 504. I thought he had an average get-off coming out of college. But, Buck, when you look at the get-off numbers since he's been in the league, he's actually been excellent with that. So maybe not that long speed you're talking about, you know, but, man, that as a pass rusher, who cares? Can you get off the ball? Can you go? He's got better in that regard. You saw him play really, really well over there in London.
Yeah, he did a really good job against Cam Robinson. His get-off is something that is funny that you talked about it being average when he was in college, because it was really impressive to watch. Cat like quickness off the ball does a great job of anticipating the snap count. And then DJ, he did what he's always done during his time at Iowa. He has a few tricks up his sleeve. He throws those out in opportune moments, and he was able to get to the quarterback twice. And it was not only getting to the quarterback using speed or turning that speed into power. It was more so being able to knock Trevor Lawrence around and get the ball out. Really good pass rusher, and he is settling in as a guy they really need because without Greg Rousseau and with Von Miller coming back, they needed someone to step up and supply that persistent pressure. Epenesa has been the guy that's been able to do it for the Bills.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that with Rousseau out and with Miller playing, you know, just 18 snaps this past week in his season debut. Like, and now with Matt Milano out, like, you've got to have somebody that can generate, you know, some playmaking ability in that front seven. And so, and especially with the injuries that they got in the secondary too now with Tre'Davious White out for the rest of the year, like, you got to have somebody helping out back there. To kind of continue, or up front rather, to help out what's going on behind him. So I think Epenesa emerging as a real playmaker for this defense in Buffalo and continuing to help them lead the league in sacks right now at 21 is a big deal here moving forward with some of the attrition that they faced.
Yeah, his average get off, we were talking about that, is 0.79, which I think he's been faster in the past. The same as Will Anderson, Van Ginkle, Max Crosby. So that's kind of the company he's keeping in terms of getting off the ball. So impressive there by A.J. Epenesa. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump into this Broncos-Chiefs Thursday night battle. It looks lopsided, but it's a short week. We'll preview that one right after this.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here, and this is NFL Plus, where you can catch every play all in one place. You get access to live, local, and primetime games on your mobile phone and tablet. That's every in-market game with you on the go.
I never knew that was a thing.
Oh, yeah? And here's my favorite part. You can stream NFL Red Zone live every Sunday. What are you waiting for?
Game time, baby. Let's go.
Go to plus.nfl.com. Sign up today.
All right, Thursday night football. The Kansas City Chiefs will be at home, which is a tough place to go on a Sunday or a Monday. It's extremely tough to go there on a short week playing on a Thursday. And their opponent that they drew is the Denver Broncos, who are sitting at 1-4, coming off of a game where the score was, you know, it was a close game with the Jets. But when you watched it, the Jets could have added a little bit more to that and made that a little bit of an ugly affair. But they're not a good football team, guys. Rhett, I'll go to you on this one first. My takeaway on this game, I know we're going to preview it and we can talk matchups and all that kind of stuff. It's all lopsided. My takeaway is, if this goes terribly wrong, if they get their doors blown off and the Broncos lose huge in this game, they fall to 1-5, and you're a team around the league and you need a safety, aren't you calling the Denver Broncos? Are you at least trying to call on Surtain and just try on Simmons, on Surtain? Like try to pluck one of these guys out of this mix and see if you can't do it while they're at their lowest. I mean, that's kind of a weird way to start this conversation, but I'm looking at this game. Like, is this the game that sends them over the edge? Say, hey, let's sell. Let's get out of here.
Well, look, I mean, it leads you into 10 days right before your next one. So, I mean, I think that's always a time where you wonder about change in any way, shape or form. And obviously head coach isn't going anywhere. I don't think the quarterback's going anywhere right now. So, I think that's something you could definitely see. I mean, I think that you'd probably rekindle the trade talks that were around Jerry Jeudy leading up to the season, Cortland Sutton, perhaps. I don't know. I don't know where they go from here. You mentioned McLaughlin was a nice little find for him, averaging about 8 yards a pop on the ground in relief duty with Javonte Williams still kind of banged up. But yeah, I'd look at Simmons. I would be very hesitant if I'm the Broncos to get rid of Surtain. I just, great corners like that don't grow on trees. And if you want to have something to build on, going into next season, it would feel like Surtain would be one of those guys for me. Nick Benito is a guy that's continued to come on. Is there a team that needs, an edge rusher to kind of supplement on what could be a playoff run? Maybe that's something they consider as well, Buck.
Man, we're just hitting the panic button. We were 1-4. We're ready to auction
it's over.
The entire team.
Stop, Buck. You don't buy this.
So they've
thing.
Already
stopped.
No. Hold on. I'm not saying that this team is going to make a playoff run, but I'm saying we're 5 games into the Sean Payton tenure, and we're going to get rid of everybody. We just got rid of Randy Gregory last week. We're making changes, trying to figure out what's the best thing. Why would you want to give away good players? Justin Simmons is a good player. Like, you don't want to give him away. I can see some of the other guys. Maybe you don't necessarily like the way Jerry Jeudy fits into the mix, but man, I'm not in the business of giving away good players, because then I got to draft a player and hope that player is going to be as good as the one that departs. If you're Sean Payton, regardless of what it looks like on Thursday, pause, take a collective breath, see if you can get this team better down the stretch. No one expected the Broncos to be title contenders in year one of the Payton era.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, like, I think they had designs on getting back to the playoffs, right? I mean,
they're terrible.
They are.
And why not? And why not? Look, what good is it going to do you to win 4 games? Like, and I'm not using that word that people will obviously use here, but if you want to sell off, play all your young guys, and maybe that gives you a better shot to come away with your next quarterback, you don't want to be stuck in no man's land. You don't want to be a 5-6 win team. So that would be.
And I put this question.
That's my thought.
Yeah, and in a way, I agree with you. And so that's why I want to ask both of you guys here, like, how would you describe what we've seen thus far, Sean Payton and Russell Wilson together? Like, what does that look like? Are there things that you can point to and say, okay, maybe that's working and maybe it'll get better in an offseason? Bucky, what do you think?
Well, I mean, he's obviously a player that's on the downslope, but I think there's some salvageable things that maybe you can take from the tape if you're Sean Payton. He's done some things okay this year. You continue to build upon those things. But really, this team was supposed to be a team that could run the football, and then you would think that they would play good defense. They've really been disappointing in both of those areas. Yes, a lot of attention will fall on Russell Wilson, and he has to pick up his play. But I would say, before we can take everything to task, man, the defense gave up a 70 burger a couple weeks ago.
They've been terrible.
And then obviously we can't run. Before we can get to it, I got to make sure that the coaches are putting together the right scheme to give the players the best chance to be successful. I don't know if we can confidently say that's been the case.
Well, and we're not even going to – apologies to the Chiefs. The Chiefs are going to win this football game. We're not going to spend much time talking about them. They're fine. They're winning football games. They still haven't played their best ball, but they're still the Chiefs. And they're going to, in my opinion, they're going to win this game comfortably. But to me, the storyline is in Denver. And, Buck, one more thing on this, and then I'll get us moving here. But the other name I would consider, man, Garrett Bowles has one more year left on his contract. He's a good tackle. So, I mean, if you have a need there, hold on one second. Jets. Oh, man, sorry, clear my throat. I would at least try and make a phone call there on that one.
Close look at him.
And do you think the Jets would be, not the Jets, do you think the Broncos would be willing to send Garrett Bowles to the Jets, considering how Sean Payton viewed the coaching that was done there? I don't think that will happen. I don't think that'll happen.
They can hang up on you. I'm just saying, just make the call. That's all I'm getting at there. The NFL London games march on exclusively on NFL Network as Lamar Jackson and the Ravens face off with Derrick Henry and the Titans. Live from Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, rise, shine, and watch a little football. It's Sunday Morning Football Sunday, 9:30 a.m. Eastern, only on NFL Network and streaming on NFL Plus. Learn more at NFL.com/international. Another one overseas here. We got Ravens, Titans getting after it over there. And Buck, you were just over there for 2 weeks. I'm curious, before we get into the matchup here with Ravens and Titans, do you get any feedback from the players on the adjustment and how long it takes to get settled when you're going overseas?
Yeah, it takes a while depending on where you're coming from. I mean, you talk about 5-6 hour time change and trying to get your body clock right. I know the Buffalo Bills struggled with that. They came in on a Friday to play a Sunday game, and they looked lethargic at the beginning. The Jaguars, the first weekend, came in on a Thursday and worked out immediately. Maybe there's something to be said for it. I will say this. It's not only the body clock adjustment, but there have been some discussion about the turf and how slick it can be and making sure you have the right shoes and all that. So there are a lot of little things that you have to kind of work through as you're getting ready to play a game. So for both of these teams, man, it'd be a lot of adjusting on the fly.
Yeah, I look at this Tennessee team, and really the strength of their team is that defensive front. They can get so much interior push and so much interior pressure, which you're going to have to do here against Lamar Jackson. Get him off his spot, make him uncomfortable. I think they've got a chance to do that with this matchup. Now, on the other side of it, Rhett, the Ravens had opportunities against a very good defense with the Steelers. They couldn't catch the football. They got to be better in that regard in this one to win this ball game. I think most areas favor the Ravens in this one, but I'm telling you, that defensive front for the Titans can cause a big, big problem.
And I agree with you. And if the Ravens, and look, Lamar Jackson, obviously as elusive as it comes in the pocket. So if he can buy a little bit of time, I think there's an opportunity for the Ravens receivers and for Mark Andrews to find some space against this Tennessee Titans secondary. I think they're bottom third right now in pass defense per game. So I think if they can figure out a way to keep Lamar clean just long enough, I think Zay Flowers, obviously, after I took him in our fantasy draft this week, I feel like he's going to have a big day against the Tennessee Titans. So I feel really good about that. I mean, as long as the Ravens don't hurt themselves in epic fashion like they did this past week, I feel like they've got a good shot to go in there and win this football game against Tennessee.
I just wonder, how much longer are we going to have this experiment with the Baltimore Ravens in this offensive approach? Like we're trying to throw it all over the yard. It hasn't looked great. We had 7 drop passes. And I just know you got Lamar Jackson.
They've
been able to run the football the last 3 years. Yeah, but you don't. But you didn't. So, I don't know what to do. I just know that the more they throw, the more they drop, and the more I'm over here yearning for them to go back to running the football. How much longer does this offensive experiment, how long do they continue with it before they get serious and say, hey, man, we got to win games. If not, we're going to be on the outside looking in when it comes to the postseason.
All right, as we're looking at this matchup, I'm going to go give you a little story time here to kind of wrap this one up. I was working for the Baltimore Ravens, playing the Tennessee Titans in the playoffs. You think about the history of those teams. Obviously, you know, you had the Billick game where we talked about you going there with the spear and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
There was the intense rivalry. So this Ravens Super Bowl year, They go into Nashville. They beat the Tennessee Titans. So this is a couple years after that. It's a wild card game, I believe. We're playing the Titans. And at that point in time, Ray Lewis is the defensive player of the year. He's the best defensive player in football, and there's not even anybody that's close. And a big part of it was intimidation. And you'd introduce him. It was one of the first teams, I think, they had like the full fire and everything. Ray would come out, do his dance, do the squirrel dance. And the stadium, it was as loud as I've ever heard a stadium. It was nuts. So the and most teams, they already be out in the field, and they're all their whole sidelines watching this whole thing take place. Well, in that game, they decide under Jeff Fisher that they're going to warm up on the opposite end of the field while we're doing our introductions, and while Ray Lewis is coming out, the whole team is facing the other end zone and they're running plays on air. I'd never seen anything like it. It was so bizarre looking, but they went out of their way, Buck, to not let their players see that or get wrapped up in that or try and say, smart. Oh my gosh, it's the great Ray Lewis and all this kind of stuff. It was a genius move by Jeff Fisher.
And did it turn out well for them? Did it turn out well for the Tennessee Titans?
They won. Yeah, the Titans won a game. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then that's what you got to do. So I think maybe Mike Vrabel wants to take some of the same thing. Like, hey, let the Ravens come out, do all the other stuff. We'll be down here going perfect play. You know, maybe do PATs and punts and all that other stuff.
Sure.
Have our back to the Ravens when they're coming out.
They may or may not have had an agreement, Rhett, by the way. They may or may not have had an agreement that anybody that could bait Orlando Brown, the late, great Orlando Brown, into a penalty might have been rewarded. I don't know. I'm not lobbying any accusations out there. I'm just saying that maybe was a rumor that was floating around.
Yeah, but it's going to be a big game. Big game. Tyjae Spears and Zay Flowers going off in this game. Just you heard it here first.
Rhett, always loyal to his rookies. Which if you watch the show, you know that Red is loyal to them up until they aren't playing well. Then he calls Drew and tries to get him out of the lineup and make a substitution. That's how it
yes.
Works.
Yes.
Very, very ethical. Very ethical. All right. That's a good note to wrap it up on. Appreciate you guys hanging with us here. Would encourage you again on the podcast front. Go download it, subscribe, listen to it. Leave us a rating review. We do appreciate those. Appreciate you always watching all our content, consuming it, listening to it. And we'll see you next time right here on Move the Sticks.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.